It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my guest this morning, Julie Brannon, and she's with Bailey's Naturals, which is, for those of you in Pinellas County, it is in Safety Harbor, and it's a lovely, quaint little shop in a very neat part of Pinellas County, I think. I love Safety Harbor. It's one of my favorite places to go, and they've got some great restaurants there now.
Oh, yes.
So they have. It's a fun place, you know, right on the water, and kind of in central Pinellas County in a way. Mm-hmm. It's about halfway between St. Petersburg and Tarpon Springs. So Julie and I are going to be talking about feeling and looking your best, even in stressful times. And I would say that we are probably in some of the more stressful times that most of us have ever experienced in our lifetimes. Older people that are in their 80s have never seen anything like this, or 90s. And, you know, the young people just, I think they don't quite understand which end is up these days.
Well, I think it's uncharted territory where we are right now, right?
Yeah, it is.
And
it
by the way, it's great to be back with you. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, well, good.
I'm just
good.
So delighted to be here. Yes, it is uncharted territory. And people, you know, people respond in different ways to different things, you
mm-hmm.
know. So there's no right way or wrong way. But I think that the most important thing is to just continue self-care. People get wrapped up in the political landscape. They get wrapped up in the whole COVID thing. And, mm-hmm. of course, for many, there is great cause for concern. For others, it's like, you know, I just want to live my daily life as best I can and try to keep a sense of normalcy. So,
right.
You know, again, people respond in different ways. But simple things that we can do are important. You know, as simple as, are we eating the right foods?
Right.
You know, when we're stressed, I don't know about you, but when we're stressed, you tend to maybe not make such good food choices. You're probably not sleeping as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're not thinking of exercising too much. And you gotta get up all on your head, you know. So it's important to pay attention to these things and just kind of check in with yourself. Am I doing everything I can right now to have good self-care and to take good care of myself?
So if you were going to formulate some sort of a checklist that we can kind of do, I saw something on the news the other day that you know, brought this full circle to me, and that was all of these people, more women obviously than men because they have longer hair, but that were combing out huge amounts of hair with a brush, or they were finding it in the shower. And of course, the dermatologist that they were interviewing basically said this is brought on by stress.
Mm-hmm.
And for a great many of them, it started back probably in April or early May. So the stress level was building during that period of time. And now it was hitting full force.
Mm-hmm.
And it will grow back as long as they get control of the stress level.
Mm-hmm.
So I know at your shop, you have all kinds of different things there. I mean, because I've been there. But what are you kind of seeing with people walking in the door? Are some of them coming in with hair loss issues?
I've seen a bit of that, but I think I tend to just normally see a good bit
mm-hmm.
of that, because even before all of this,
mm-hmm.
people were still dealing with stress in their lives for whatever reason.
Right.
So alopecia is the mm-hmm. condition that is hair loss that can be caused by stress. We see that, but again, you know, I'm a very foundational, let's peel the onion and
mm-hmm.
get down to the root cause of whatever's, you know, is
right.
causing the issue, and then treat it there. If someone, again, is having a stress level so high that it's causing hair loss, we have to go directly to that stress. And what can we do
right.
to mitigate that and
right.
to get back into a healthy space with it? Because we all know stress is bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a good thing, and stress will kill you. It actually causes early cell death.
Right.
And this is what creates the aging process, the visible signs of aging. But there are signs of aging inside of our bodies going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're under this stress that we also need to be aware of. So, you know, stress, helping to mitigate stress in our lives, peace, love, prayer, meditation, healthy diet, eat the whole foods. Processed foods are dead foods. They're not going to help you be healthy. They're not going to feed your cells. You know, I use the analogy, cars run on gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get down the road. Our bodies run on nutrients. And if you're eating dead food, you're already behind the eight ball with regard to the levels of nutrients that we need to have healthy bodies and be healthy on a cellular level. So we look at those things that we can do with stress, with, you know, acupuncture, yoga, exercise, just a good, you know, 30, 45 minute cardio workout can reduce your blood pressure and reduce your stress level. Just going for a walk, taking a hot bath, spending time with a loved one. All of these things can feed us and nurture us on that level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that, again, that's kind of the foundation. And then we go from there as mm-hmm. far as supplements.
Mm-hmm. I know I spend a reasonable amount of time at a park that is fairly close to where I live. Mm-hmm. And I had planted a plant on my mother's birthday. She's been deceased a number of years, but it's a moonflower. And so I've been going over every day to water her because the coast has really not received very much rain. That's unusual that we've not had more rain for August in particular, but we just haven't. So I go every day to water her and talk to her a little bit and, you know, hope that she continues to grow and thrive over there. But the park is so tranquil because we've got egrets and we've got the cormorants, you know, drying their wings. And about 2 weeks ago now, I guess, I was there around 1:30 in the afternoon and the tide was in. And there were three manatees that were
Aww.
Right at the shore. And it was so fun because we thought they were playing initially, but actually they were mating.
Okay.
And
we need more manatees, so go for it, guys.
But there was all of this thrashing around in the water. And of course, these are not small creatures, and they are endangered.
That's another show, Mating Rituals of the Manatees.
But it was just breathtaking to watch them as they rolled and, you know, cavorted with one another.
What a treat.
And it was. It was just absolutely magical. And so then they finished and they, you know, moved away from the shoreline. Now, the water that they were in at that point could not have been more than about 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of their bodies were above the water level. And that's what made it so totally amazing because usually it's much deeper water.
That's not something you see every day.
No. And I kind of felt like it was a personal gift, you know, to us, you know, as we were watching. It was kind of like saying, we see your energy, we see what you're all about, and we're letting you see what we're all about.
Oh, that's a wonderful
gift. So
it was
a very neat little gift to
give. So it's about finding a happy place, whether
right.
it's a park or a marina or, you know, going out on the water. Anything that we can do to nurture our souls in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I told you briefly before we started recording about a place down in St. Petersburg,
Sunshine
Kitty Cafe.
Yeah.
And you go in, you pay a few bucks, and you can just hang out in this several rooms with cats.
And you said there was about 20 of them?
They said between 17 and 20 cats,
mm-hmm.
and some were very playful, some just wanted to snuggle, some, it was so zen, and it was a 45 minutes of just wonderful. Very cool. You left everything
outside
the door.
Can you adopt them if you want to?
That's why they're there. Yes.
Okay.
So I they're new. They've only been open about a month. So I definitely want to support them and give them that big plug. Sunshine Kitty Cafe down in downtown St. Petersburg. But it was a happy place.
So where in St. Pete is it?
Oh, I don't remember.
It wasn't like on Central Avenue or something?
I'm going to get myself in trouble. They can just look it up, the Sunshine
okay.
Kitty Cafe. But it's downtown St. Petersburg.
Okay.
I think west of downtown. But it was a very zen, comfortable, neat thing to do. So
I would think so.
We just have to unplug and go do something for ourselves. So then when we talk about layering on top of the things that we're going to do, managing diet, exercise, you know, meditation, peace, love, and prayer, then we start talking about the supplements and the different nutrients the body really needs. We know, I mean, the science has shown us that a magnesium deficiency in particular can cause insomnia, agitation, irritability, hormone imbalances, type 2 diabetes, hypertension. So we know this is a very important mineral. And it's one of those minerals that, it's depending on what we're eating that day, our levels can really shift dramatically from day to day.
So where do you find magnesium?
Anybody, any good health food store should have magnesium.
No, but I mean in your food.
Oh, in your food. Apricots, brown rice, because of the agribusiness, our food supplies really don't supply enough magnesium. Mm-hmm. That's why it's estimated that upwards of 80% of all Americans are magnesium deficient.
And a side effect that they might notice right away if they were deficient?
Constipation.
Okay, that would be one. How about muscle cramping?
Muscle cramping, exactly. If you get muscle spasms or Charlie horses, mm-hmm. as we call them, that is just a big, huge red flag. Magnesium deficiency. Mm-hmm. So I encourage everyone to take a magnesium supplement every day. It's really hard to overdo it, because if you do overdo the magnesium,
you get diarrhea.
You're going to know. Uh-huh. And there are other forms, because some people maybe have an issue with that to start with, mm-hmm. and they still want to take magnesium. They can take magnesium glycinate. It's a form of magnesium. It's been chelated with an amino acid so that it does not have that bowel effect, mm-hmm. but you're still getting the benefit of the magnesium.
Now, because it's chelated with an amino acid, I would think that, because all amino acids are just protein, mm-hmm. so it's absorbed very mm-hmm. quickly, mm-hmm. and your cells can benefit from it very quickly. So yes. That might be the best form.
I think so. They make a lot of powders that are very easy to use, and they're mm-hmm. actually kind of tasty. I use it's called Calm by Natural Vitality. There's also Clearwater Company that produces one. And just a teaspoon or so of that in my sleepy time tea at night is just mm-hmm. a great way to end the day. Mm-hmm. But magnesiums are really important. It's considered an electrolyte. You know, those minerals are electrolytes. But a very important mineral that, again, you really can't rely on your food to get it. So supplementing with that can be just super simple. Mm-hmm. And very beneficial.
Now, I know I personally take 400 milligrams. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the normal dose is for people, but...
Well, I say find your dose. Mm-hmm. On the label, they're always going to... Any label of everything you buy is going to have suggested dosing instructions. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say start there, or start a little bit below that. And every day, start increasing your dose just a little bit. And when you get to that bowel tolerance, it's mm-hmm. called supplementing to bowel tolerance... And you all know what I'm talking about out there in Radioland. then you back off just a little bit, and that's your dose. I've got some clients who need to take 2 tablespoons every day.
Wow.
It just depends on the individual. You know, it's not one size fits all. We're all unique, and we have to find what works for us.
Right.
So magnesium's right at the top of my list.
Right. In fact, I was mentioning to you that I was consulting with somebody whose daughter basically was experiencing muscle twitches. And it was keeping her awake at night. And that was the first thing that popped into my head initially was, okay, she probably has a magnesium deficiency. Mm-hmm. And when you ask for a blood panel to be done, you and I also talked about the fact they give you ranges. And so why don't you explain, you know, the importance of understanding a number and not a range?
Exactly. The first thing I would say is whenever you have blood work, whenever you have any kind of a lab done, make sure that you get a hard copy of it. And you've got to maintain your own file. Mm-hmm. Because if that mainframe goes down somewhere sometime, where are your records?
Right.
And that could be catastrophic for us. So we always want to get a hard copy. And then we look at like a CBC panel, for example. It looks like it's in a foreign language, and you've got to have an IQ of Mensa to be able to translate and understand it. Well, there are great websites you can go to that help you figure out what it's basically saying. Mm-hmm. But yes, there are ranges. It could be from, you know, 0.25 up to 3.75, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm in a low range of something, I want to know that, because if I'm at the risk of falling off the cliff over there at the bottom end of the range, there's going to be action I'm going to take to get myself back up to the middle of the range.
Right.
Or if you're high in a range of something you don't want to be in, like say cholesterol, but you're within the range, well, don't fall off that cliff either. Just do what you got to do to bring those numbers back down.
Right.
So understanding those lab results is important, getting a hard copy of it, and try to place yourself in the middle of the range. That's kind of where I roll with that.
Let's talk about cholesterol for a moment, too, because I think a lot of people are being sold a bill of goods by doctors who are being sold a bill of goods by the pharmaceutical reps. So a person over the age of, let's say, 60 really should have, from everything that I'm learning, a 200 or more range for their cholesterol. You know, mm-hmm. good versus bad, there is a ratio, 4 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the pharmaceutical reps have now sold doctors on the idea that it should be below 150.
They keep lowering the bar.
Mm-hmm.
10 or 15 years ago, it was 200. Before mm-hmm. that, it was 250. They keep lowering the bar.
Yeah.
But we know the danger of that, don't we?
Now, yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna make my disclaimer now because I forgot to do it at the beginning.
Okay.
I'm not a medical doctor, and all the information I'm sharing is for educational purposes. I'm not trying to diagnose, treat, prescribe, cure, anything like
right,
that. So,
right.
And this does not replace the expert care and advice of a medical professional. So, that said, here's my opinion. Well, actually, there's some science behind this, too. They are discovering that the drugs that are rampantly prescribed for managing cholesterol, typically the statins, they can cause liver damage, they mm-hmm. can cause peripheral neuropathy that's typically not reversible, and they can also cause early onset dementia
mm-hmm.
because the brain needs fat to function. That's why our bodies make cholesterol.
Right.
Okay. And there has been an ongoing debate for a long time, even within the medical establishment. There are many doctors who say, okay, you know what, I'm really not concerned so much about what your cholesterol number is, but I want to look at your arteries. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A quick carotid ultrasound of your arteries will give them an idea of what's happening there. Now, if you have plaque in your arteries, that is cholesterol sticking to the fibrin, which are circulating proteins in the blood, and they become the mortar. So cholesterol by itself, if it's circulating in your blood and not
mm-hmm.
sticking to anything, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What should be the big deal about that, right? So after we get to a certain age, and of course certain lifestyle factors, you know, smoking and alcohol and lack of exercise and things like that might cause someone to start having and developing the arterial plaque. But know where you are. It's such an easy test. And if you find that your arteries are clear and your doctor wants you to take a cholesterol medication, I would question them.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we these are our bodies and we get to make the final decision.
Exactly.
With our doctor's advice. And that's
right.
Just what it is. It's advice. We have to make the decisions for ourselves. So cholesterol, to me, if your arteries are clear, it is just not a big deal. Now, I'm not saying go eat fried catfish three times a week. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
We have to be sensible about our diets. But there are certain enzymes you can take, like lipase, actually helps the body break down fat easier. So if you're at a family reunion and you got to have them ribs, well, have them. But take an enzyme to help your body assimilate and actually metabolize the fats. So, yeah, that's cholesterol is kind of it's a sticky wicket. But what I'm seeing more and more is people are saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure I can buy the party line on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they tell their doctors, look, let me just try to bring this number down on my own.
Right.
You know, if they feel like they must comply.
The doctor that I go to and have, you know, for almost 20 years now, she's very holistic in her approach,
mm-hmm.
Although she's a traditional MD.
Right.
But she realizes that with me, and in the beginning, she tried to put me on a statin. And the first reaction I had was that I couldn't go up and down steps anymore because my legs were cramping.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, okay, you can't use that one. So then she tried another one that was absorbed differently. And I was on it for, I think, about 3 months, and I woke up one morning and I could not feel my tongue. Literally, the tongue was not operational.
Oh, no.
And so I called,
wow.
And she said, you can't take any type of statin drug. Don't ever let anybody put you on one. And so, you know, there's red yeast rice. There's, you know, other kinds of things. Krill oil
mm-hmm.
is very good for that. But I have friends that have been on statin drugs that actually are getting a lot of the signs of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can't think maybe outside that box that says, well, no, my doctor says.
Right.
And even though this is happening, I still have to stay on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, you are definitely headed down a road that you're not going to be
right.
happy with, because it's not really reversible.
No. I'm not anti-medical establishment at all. We
mm-hmm.
need doctors. We
yes.
need good doctors, lots of them. And all healthcare professionals, and I honor every single one of them, especially this time of what we're dealing with in the world today. But at the same time, we have to be our own health advocates.
Yes, we do.
And knowledge is power. If people would read the studies or read the information about a particular drug before they decide to take it, if it's prescribed, that is their decision.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be our own best health advocates. We can't rely on somebody else to do that for us.
Right. So. And I don't think it's you know, I guess what I'm going to say next is the computer can be a very important tool for uncovering information. And I know when my husband was alive and on some of the medications that he was on, that's the first place I went, is I wanted to go see what other people were saying about a particular drug. Not the pharmaceutical company that created it, but the people who had actually used it. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed at the number of class action lawsuits and things like that that are actually on the computer for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's very reliable sources that just give out great information, like Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, mm-hmm. research-based places.
Yeah, let's look at the facts.
So
the facts
yeah.
speak for themselves.
They do.
On so many levels
yeah.
in our lives and in the world. And, you know, we were talking about cholesterol. If you're actually under a great deal of stress, it will raise your cholesterol level.
It will raise it.
Stress
mm-hmm.
will raise that.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to, okay, so how can we manage that stress to keep ourselves healthy and happy and living longer so
mm-hmm.
that we are not having those visible signs of aging or the other internal ones as well that can cause, you know, metabolic problems and different health issues. We talked about magnesium and how important that is. The B-complex vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
The B vitamins feed the head. They feed and nourish the central nervous system. You know, in natural medicine, quite frequently you see practitioners using nothing but a high-potency B-complex and a really high-quality fish oil to treat things like bipolar disorder, to treat clinical depression, to treat anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the essential fatty acids from the fish oil, those really nourish the brain. The B complex vitamins nourish the central nervous system. They have to work together. The B vitamins also combined with extra B6 is routinely used for carpal tunnel.
That's
because if you see people with a carpal tunnel, they're usually very deficient in B6 in particular and the Bs mm-hmm. in general. And these are water-soluble nutrients. This isn't like a vitamin D3 that you can take one every other day if you felt like it. The B vitamins have to be replaced every day. And you'll even see products, they call them stress tabs or stress formulas. It's B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you could take 30 different vitamins a day. Do I? No, I don't take that many and I have a vitamin store. I rely on a very good, high-quality multiple vitamin to get the amounts of Bs that I need in a good, perfect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm also relying on that multivitamin for the zinc because we need between 15 and 20, 25 milligrams a day and never exceeding 100 from food sources because there are foods that are high in zinc, you know, certain nuts and seeds, sesame seeds, things like that. They're very high in zinc. And right now for a healthy immune function, that zinc is super important.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some people are very sensitive to zinc, so you can't, you know.
If they were sensitive, what would they notice?
Vomiting.
Oh,
extreme
wow.
vomiting.
Wow.
And I can speak from experience. I had a 50 milligram zinc sitting on the counter that my daughter can take just fine. It doesn't bother her at all.
Okay.
One day she had a cold or something. I thought, well, I'm going to put a little layer of protection here. I took a zinc, a 50 milligram, in 5 minutes I was in the bathroom getting rid of the zinc and everything else. So, or you might feel nausea. Sometimes a slight nausea passes quickly. But that's how you would know. And again, there's also a zinc glycinate, like the magnesium glycinate, chelated with the glycine to make it bioavailable, but also more gentle.
Mm. And is it a powder? Or
it's actually a gel cap.
A gel cap.
They put it with pumpkin seed oil. So zinc glycinate's a good choice. So anyway, I really rely on a multivitamin. And you know, when we're talking about protecting ourselves from rapidly aging, it's all about the nutrients that we give them so that they function well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need a good arsenal of nutrients to do their job. So a good multivitamin is important. And then fish oil, you mentioned krill, very high quality fish oil. It's a little pricey for some people, but I'll tell you what's wonderful
mm-hmm.
and it's effective. And it's that essential fatty acids that are essential to cellular health, but we have to either get them through our diet or supplementation.
Right.
And that means eating the cold water, you know, deep water, cold water fish at least 5 times a week. I don't know if anybody out there do that.
I don't think so.
I don't cook fish 5 times a week in order to get a roast. So, you know, avocados, raw nuts and seeds, there are plenty of places to get good fats, but I think it's just easier to fill in the dietary gaps by just taking a daily fish oil. Barlean's is another good one. They make a tasty, it's pre-emulsified, so your body doesn't have to break all that fat down. And so it is easier for the body to use and absorb. It's creamy, and it tastes like dessert.
Really?
Great way to get your kids to take your grandkids to take a fish oil because it helps them do better in school.
So it's a liquid.
It's a liquid. Mango peach, pina colada, key lime. They've got all these wonderful flavors. And you're like, I'm not taking fish oil. I'm having dessert.
So what is it, like a tablespoon?
Yeah, that's all you need is a tablespoon.
Wow. And does your store
carry
it?
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Of course, any health food store, any good quality health food store should have it. And it's refrigerated.
Okay.
It is refrigerated. So those are some foundational things that we can do.
Do you remember Carlson's fish oil?
I do.
Oh my gosh, my husband used to take that and he dropped a bottle once.
I bet you never got the smell out of your house.
It took months. I mean, even with using some, I don't like to use bleach, but I had to. Because the tile in the kitchen, you know, just absorbed it. And so as he dropped it, I watched it spread. And I was like, slow motion. I couldn't even figure out where to go first because it was a glass bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And he had bare feet. And so I wanted him to back up very slowly because I was looking at where the
glass had gone. It's like the fish or the feet. Which do we go for here?
Oh my goodness gracious. It was just horrendous.
Yeah, so this takes the stink out of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's easy for kids to comply because they love the way it tastes. Very good for a lot of research using fish oil for ADD and ADHD in children and adults. So for good brain function, fish oil and a good multi with those B vitamins.
I love the fact that it comes in all those flavors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great. It's great. So you could try one month and try the other the next. You know, other things to think about in terms of supplements, supplements that are antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, what ages our cells and causes that early cell death are going to be those circulating free radicals.
Right.
Stress creates more free radicals. They're like these little search and destroy bots that are in there in the body, really working to break down our cellular structures and harm us. So when we take antioxidants, they're like little Pac-Man and they go after those free radicals that are seeking to damage our cells. And antioxidants like coenzyme Q10 is important, especially if you're on a statin drug. Coenzyme Q10, very good for the heart, very good for blood pressure as well. Coenzyme Q10 gives every little cell has a energy factory. It's called the mitochondria of the cell. And coenzyme Q10 gives that little energy factory more fuel to do its job.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is energizing to the cellular structure and the way the cell functions. Good old vitamin C. Let's talk about that because it's hard to get enough. I mean, it's water soluble. I don't rely on the C I get in my multivitamin because I do take more. I take 1,000 milligrams at least twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend 500 minimum twice a day. Again, water soluble, so you can only absorb so much, so just split those doses out. Vitamin C promotes collagen, and what keeps our faces and skin where we want it to be instead of headed south?
Right?
Collagen.
Mm-hmm.
Collagen is important to the functioning of the vascular system as well. Our vascular system is mostly collagen. We want to keep it pliable and healthy, and also our connective tissue is collagen-based. So collagen, you know, vitamin C helps the body produce collagen, grapeseed extract, another powerful antioxidant, and vitamin C work well together to really boost the collagen production. And now you're finding on the market a whole lot of collagen supplements, even collagen gummies.
Oh, really?
They're really good and hard to keep in stock. So lots of different ways to, again, get rid of those free radicals that want to damage our cellular health.
Now, collagen works well with hair and nails as well as skin.
It does.
Yeah.
All of those things.
Those people that are experiencing a lot of stress and hair falling out, I would think if they started using additional collagen in their diet, that would also help.
It's a great idea. It really is. And it really changes the texture of your skin pretty quickly.
Hmm.
It's kind of amazing. But the thing to remember about collagen, it has to be activated by vitamin C. So either look for a collagen product that contains vitamin C or just make sure you're taking your extra vitamin C to really make that collagen.
Now, have you ever heard of people that are taking, like especially if they are afraid they're coming down with something, you know, where maybe they're taking at least 500 milligrams every couple of hours?
Sure.
And because it's water soluble, I don't think you can overdose on it, can you?
No, I mean, long-term high-dosing vitamin C to someone who may have a kidney imbalance may lend itself to creating kidney stones. But if you're drinking enough water, which is half our body weight in ounces every single day, no matter what, more if you drink caffeine, If you're drinking enough water, typically that's going to be flushed out, but it is water soluble. And there was a time, this is many years ago, I was coming down with, it was something bad. I felt so horrible and I was at work at the time. I started hitting 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every hour. By the end of the day, I had taken over 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C. But what told me my body was using it, my urine never turned yellow.
Really?
That, you know, when you're excreting vitamin C and the B vitamins, oftentimes you get that neon colored urine. But that never happens. And I was better the next day. 24 hours later, I felt
I have heard that better. So many times. And I've recommended for somebody who does feel like, okay, I'm coming down with something, especially today. I mean, we don't know whether it's going to be a cure-all for COVID-19.
Well, but technically, there's no cure.
Yeah, but technically, also, taking zinc, taking extra vitamin C, doing those things, ward off the ability to maybe become infected with it.
You know what it's like? It's like enlisting a really good general to get in there and fight that enemy. Mm-hmm. It's like giving your general more troops to fight the enemy that's trying to invade.
Exactly.
And that's really important.
And there's so many people that have no idea what their immune level even is, which they can find out again with a blood panel, just getting a D3.
Sure.
That will tell you. And I, again, we talked a little bit before the show started, but my husband ended up in a nursing home before he died, and I wanted to know what his immune function was at that point. So I asked them for a D3. I had to fight for that because that's not a typical test they give. His function was a 29. And on a level, you know, for a healthy person, it should be up around 70. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, even here in Florida, the number of people where it's around 40 to 45. Well, they're going to tell you that that's in a good normal range. In reality, when you're having to fight viruses, bacteria in general, no, that's not going to do it. You really do need to get it bumped up there to around 70. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, mine is an 82.
Good
so, yeah, so I think it's a matter of saying, you know, what am I doing to take care of me, which is what this show is all about. Mm-hmm. If people aren't invested in their own life, you know, to taking care of themselves, it's a little bit like, you know, being on an airplane when the oxygen max drops down.
I mean, I use that one all the time.
Yeah, they tell you, put it on yourself first before you put it on anyone else. Mm-hmm. So we have to be conscious of being responsible for our own health.
Absolutely. No question about it. And something else about vitamin C I didn't want to overlook is that you can also take vitamin C to bowel tolerance. Because if you get too much high of a level in you in, say, a 24-hour period, it will also loosen the stool. So you can take vitamin C to bowel tolerance. Just keep adding a little bit every day until you hit that threshold, and then you can just back off a little bit. And that's what your body needs.
Right. And can you imagine having to drink that much orange juice?
No. There is orange juice is, unless you're squeezing your own oranges, it's very acidic. And acid feeds pathogen.
Right.
That's what pathogen, bacteria, cancer cells want, is an acidic environment.
Exactly. So sometimes it always amazes me that a diabetic, now granted, it's going to get the sugar into them very quickly. But a lot of people that are diabetic think by drinking a lot of orange juice, they're helping themselves. And they're really not.
No. No, and that's kind of a, I guess it's a learning curve for some folks out there. But something else I wanted to touch on real quickly was adrenal function.
Okay.
Because remember, when we're stressed out, especially chronically stressed, it really impacts our adrenal function.
Exactly.
And the adrenals are two little glands that sit on top of your kidneys. I guess it was just a good place to put them because they have nothing to do with the urinary tract or the kidneys. They share the endocrine system with the thyroid. Okay. And the adrenals are hormone central. They're pretty much telling the body, release this hormone for how long and how much, and this is happening every nanosecond of every day. So our adrenals really are important, and long-term chronic stress is going to deplete them and deplete their function.
And that's called adrenal fatigue.
Adrenal fatigue, and you know, you can actually look online. There are symptoms of adrenal fatigue. No matter how many hours of sleep you get, you wake up tired, you reach for coffee to get the motor started, you crave salty foods as opposed to sweet foods. There's a lot of different signs. And simple things for the adrenals, again, let's go back to vitamin C and B complex, because those two things nourish the entire endocrine system. We're talking about the adrenals and the thyroid, and that I think is part of the mechanism as to why we use those things just for good general immune health, because we need good sound adrenals, but also for hormone balance. And I learned this in
men
an interesting way, men and women, because I would have a lot of women coming in with menopausal issues, and we'd use this herb or try that, and you know, we were making some headway, but in one particular case, not getting all the way there. And so we had almost, I felt like, exhausted our options naturally to try to help her with her multitude of very severe menopause symptoms. And one day she came in and we finally got to chatting. It turned out she was a caregiver for her mother-in-law who had Alzheimer's disease. She was also a caregiver for her husband who was a paraplegic. So the amount of love and kindness this woman was giving every day to others was leaving her bucket completely empty.
Totally.
And it really damaged her adrenals. I'm not diagnosing that, but that is the assumption that we're making, and she made as well. So she started on an adrenal supplement. In 2 weeks, her symptoms had dramatically reduced.
Wow.
So, and some people, depending on the term of this, the stress and things like that, it might be a longer road to start rebuilding that adrenal health. But there's lots of really good science-based information online about things you can do to boost your adrenal function and protect them, especially, you know, when we're talking chronic stress, we're not talking about a bad day at work. We're talking, what, 5 months into COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard not to be stressed. I mean, mm-hmm. I turn the news off and I try to do everything I can to keep those outside influences away. But there's that underlying knowledge that this is happening, and it's still a challenge for many of us.
You know, the thing that just really drives me nuts as a therapist, because I still see people, is every single day there is not a single news channel that does not dwell on the fact of how many people have died.
Yeah, I'm with you there, sister.
I mean, it is so frustrating because mm-hmm. if you look at what you don't want, you just get more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we are constantly looking, and have been for a number of years now politically,
mm-hmm.
but we are constantly looking at what we don't like that's
mm-hmm.
going on. And so we're getting more and more and more of the same, in my mind. The reason I wrote, you know, my book that was released in March was to help people understand that our thoughts create our reality.
Absolutely.
And so many times, you know, I think we give that power over to somebody else and
mm-hmm.
we go, well, you know, but he is doing or she is doing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's what we are doing.
And in our health, that we call it the placebo effect.
Yes, yes.
Because no one's going to call it the power of positive thinking, but okay, take a sugar pill and it's going to help you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, doctor, I feel better already.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That's how powerful the mind is. If we focus on what we want, that's what we get, as opposed to what we don't want.
Right.
You know, and since the beginning of this, we all have our own opinions, and I don't want to, you know, have people call you and be angry over what I said, and I don't want people to be angry at me, but it's just my opinion. You know, this is a bad flu.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad flu. We've had bad flus before.
Well, you and I, again, talked earlier about the one that was killed 4 million.
The Hong Kong flu
in
1968 killed
mm-hmm.
4 million people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
The world didn't shut down. Economies didn't shut down. Schools didn't shut down. They quarantined the at-risk people. They did not quarantine healthy people.
Right, right.
And so that's just my personal opinion. If we could just get back to our lives and realize that, okay, flu is bad and every life is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there are people with mitigating, you know, pre-existing conditions that would
uh-huh.
make them more vulnerable. And that is the way it is during every flu season.
Right.
Not just this. Of course, it does have a high transmission factor, but you also find that a lot of people that are carrying the virus don't get sick from the virus. And if you also look at the people that have unfortunately passed away due to this one, it's the same at-risk people that are
mm-hmm.
at risk during any mm-hmm. flu season.
Exactly.
So
we just happen to have more of them now than we've ever had
yes,
before.
Yes, we do. And it's the reporting. Let's
mm-hmm.
face it. You know, we have instant information
right.
coming at us at all times.
Yeah, 24/7.
You know, and during past, you know, Ebola or H1N1 or the swine flu, it wasn't being shoved in our faces and down our throats. Oh my God, you know, 50 people died. Well, you know, the Lord calls people home in his due time. And so my feeling is buying into the fear takes you into the darkness.
Right. Right. And fear is always false
we
evidence
need to,
appearing real.
We need to be sensible and be careful, you know, concerned for our neighbors. You know,
mm-hmm.
the whole mask wearing, don't even get me started with that. But yes, I wear a mask when I go into a public place because it's for the comfort of the people around me, not for my comfort or belief that it's actually going to protect
me. You know, that has become a huge side industry now.
I know.
Because so many people are making masks, and I had to chuckle because the other day, about a couple of weeks ago.
God bless America. That's what I mean, you know.
I mean, we are creative individuals. Mm-hmm. We see a need and we go create, you know, make it. But they are now doing, for women's fashions, matching masks for whatever you're going out cocktail-wise or, you know, dress-wise. Or
well, at least you can be all well-coordinated and accessorized. I like a shield myself because I need to breathe, and I'm working with customers all day long, and the county requires that I wear a face covering. Mm-hmm. With a shield, I'm able to breathe and communicate. Mm-hmm. I want my clients to see my face.
Right. And that a lot of the teachers, I guess, are going to be doing that.
Which is smart, because when you bear in mind that viruses will invade your eyes, your ears, they'll invade into any mucous membrane they can find, and it's frequently through the eyes. Mm. And a mask isn't covering your eyes.
No, that's true.
But you might look fashionable. You look pretty walking down that aisle at the grocery store. So anyway, that's all an individual decision. But again, not buying into the fear, saying, you know, the fear is going to add to the stress. It's going to weaken your immune function. And I've always been a glass half full kind of gal.
Yeah.
I told you, Lucy, that I had a flood in my shop a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you did.
It was horrifying. It was a very traumatic situation at the time. But a couple of days later, I looked back and I went, but you know, it could have happened. That hot water heater could have blown when I wasn't there.
Yes.
You know, it could have happened on a week, and it could have been so much worse. Well, that's just kind of how I roll. I'm a glass half full.
Well, which is a good thing. You made lemonade out of lemons.
There you go. And it was tasty.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So the fact that we're going to feel better, how does that create looking better?
Well, just stand in front of a mirror and think a mean thought. Mm. Someone that really upset you, or, you know, your husband's made you mad or whatever, and look at your face with that expression.
Exactly.
You're going to go, ooh, do I really look like that when I, you know, and stress will do the same thing. I think people gravitate to smiles, to happy faces, and it just makes you feel better to smile. You know, if you're down and out, just put on a smile and you're going to feel better. So
I think there's something about the number of muscles that it requires to frown versus smile.
Yes.
It's a lot fewer.
It is.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, my mom would say, don't make that face. It's going to stick like that. Well, I think maybe she might have been right. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen people who were just wearing a scowl, you know, and that has got to affect them on a certain level, and it affects others around you.
Well, energetically, we certainly carry an aura around us. And so people who are unhappy, people who are stressed, carry a heaviness, if you will, that is tangible, I think. I have noticed at this particular park that I was telling you about that most of the time that I'm there, the people are very uplifted. And I think part of it is the setting, but I think people gravitate there for whatever reasons that are just in general happier people. And then, of course, the environment makes them happier. But the energy is so palpably different than if you walked into Publix, or if you walk into Walgreens, or you walk into Walmart or someplace. The energy is very, very, very different.
It feels almost frantic to me sometimes.
Yes, yes.
It feels almost frantic. So let's de-stress and be happy. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I say let go and let God. You know, we are not going to solve the world's problems by you know, really focusing on it all the time. That's not going to fix anything. We have to, all we can control are our lives and the way we respond to things that happen to us in our lives.
Exactly.
You know, very quickly, because I know we're probably running low on time. No, we're good. Okay, then I won't be quick. There are certain herbs that have a wonderful balancing effect on the body. We call them nervines, N-E-R-V-I-N-E. It's a classification of herbal medicine that go directly to the central nervous system.
Is ashwagandha one of them?
Actually, ashwagandha is an adaptogen, which supports adreenal function.
Right. So that would be back to
tying that in. Yeah. Absolutely. Ginseng, ashwagandha, astragalus, Shizandra, those are all very good adaptogens. If you actually want to treat instead of just support with the C and the B complex. So anyway, these nervine herbs, skullcap, vervain, lemon balm, passion flower.
And those are oftentimes found in bath gels.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you're not eating the bath gel, are you?
No, no. But if you wanted to inhale it as aromatherapy.
Well, I'm talking about from a pharmacological standpoint, what these herbs actually do inside the human body. But that's a good idea. They have a gentle calming effect. Some nervines are stronger than others. I think of passion flower. Valerian being more of a sedative herb. Mm-hmm. Passion flower, Dr. Michael Murray, a wonderful naturopathic physician. Mm-hmm. I love him. He was on Dr. Oz talking about using passion flower instead of, I think it was Valium or Zantac or something, to go to bed at night. That the action was actually, or the result actually, what was almost identical. Cup of passion flower tea, throw your powdered magnesium in there, and you're off to dreamland. You know, and these herbs do not harm the body. Mm-hmm. Because they're plant-based, the body sees them as food. Right. And they go, oh, I know what to do with this on a cellular level, so I'll use this, I'll metabolize it, and then it's gone. They're very gentle, but they do have active constituents that act on the body on a cellular level. Lemon balm is one of the tastiest herbs out there. It's got this light lemony flavor. I was going to bring you one, I forgot.
Somebody that was telling me about using lemon balm to make iced tea.
Yes.
So
it's absolutely
delicious. Yeah.
Any herb you could virtually turn into an iced beverage. Mm-hmm. A really nice thing is to make lavender lemonade.
Ooh.
Lavender is a very relaxing herb. You steep lavender like you're going to make a tea and you add it to your lemonade.
Well, that works.
It's absolutely delicious and a great way to take the edge off, and it's refreshing, iced, mm-hmm. you know, after work instead of reaching for a cocktail. Have that instead. It's going to give you the better benefit, I think. And children love lemon balm. It's very safe for even little ones, and it's very, very tasty.
Would that help with ADHD?
I would say yes. I've got some moms, actually quite a few through the years, who've used that with their kids. Maybe if they weren't diagnosed ADHD mm-hmm. or they were just too hyper after school and needed to mm-hmm. settle down to study or do whatever, she'd give them all lemon balm tea. They have a little tea party right after school.
What
and
a great
idea.
It
takes the edge off and helps them focus. Another thing that lemon balm is very good at is treating vertigo.
So how about somebody who has tinnitus?
It's probably not my best choice. I like CoQ10 for that.
Okay.
But also, oftentimes tinnitus really is caused by a buildup of earwax.
Mm.
So I definitely look into that. But lemon balm also is good for IBSD. Irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea, because it has an antispasmodic effect in the gut. And see, this is all the different qualities of lemon balm we're talking about are very typical of many different herbs. Skullcap, for example, again, a great nervine, doesn't taste as great as lemon balm, but I actually make a formula. I call it Bailey's Calming Tea, and it's got most of these herbs in it, along with some mint and some hibiscus and things that make it taste really good.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very popular formula at my store, I'll tell you that. I love to formulate different medicinal teas. But anyway, so skullcap also is very good for healing certain injuries, battling infections, but it also takes the edge off and makes you nice and happy and calm. So there are simple things that we can do as opposed to reaching, say, for a pharmaceutical drug that might have unwanted side effects.
You know, for anybody that has watched the news, especially the 6 o'clock news, I think there's got to be about 4 or 5 different drug companies that are advertising their particular drugs for whatever conditions, you know, might be there. And it always amazes me that for the one thing that it's going to help, there's probably 20 side effects of things that you don't want. And yet, you knowingly mm-hmm. take it.
Yes, the last figure I saw, it was several years ago, the pharmaceutical companies spend upwards of $60 billion a year to advertise their drugs.
And that's with a B.
I'm not sure what their number is now, but yeah, and, wow. and again, it comes back to us being our own health advocates and
mm-hmm.
saying, okay, well, you know, you might want me to take that medication. For me deciding, do I really need it? Are there alternatives? I mean, not all drugs are bad.
No.
I can't make that
and
blanket
some
statement.
You have to take.
And yes, some people do need medications, and I grant that. but there are also simple things we can do nutritionally to maybe mitigate some of those harmful effects of those particular drugs. So
right.
it's about being an educated consumer and know
right.
that for over 8,000 years, people have used plant-based medicines
right.
to very good benefit.
Right.
You know, so
well,
again,
people
those
used to have an herb garden. You
of
know,
course.
That, you know, when they lived even 50 years
uh-huh.
ago. Great many people had, I did, I had an herb garden 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you just snipped what you wanted and,
mm-hmm.
you know, brought it in and used it. But
and even until the 1920s, if you decided you want to be a physician and went to medical school,
mm-hmm.
one of the first tasks you had was to tend the medicinal garden.
Really?
Because that's where the medicines
came from,
was the garden.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they came from.
I can remember when I was very young, probably 5 years old, that I had a great aunt who, you know, didn't believe in using anything that was pharmaceutical. And, of course, there weren't that many back
mm-hmm.
then. But I remember that her idea, if you had cramps, you know, like as for a woman that
uh-huh.
was going through her cycle or something, that if she had cramps, I remember my aunt using... I think it was some sort of brandy, maybe,
okay.
or something that she had. She always kept a little bottle, like, in a drawer
okay.
in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she had a friend that came in, I just remember her saying, well, this will help, you know, have some of this. And I had asked her about it, and I don't know what she told me at the time, but I later found out that it was probably brandy.
Well, there's a product called B&B,
uh-huh.
which is Benedictine and brandy.
Okay.
You know what Benedictine is?
No, I don't.
It was formulated in the 16th century.
The Benedictine
by monks.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. All right.
Lemon balm plays a big part in that particular liqueur.
Really?
It's a plant-based liqueur.
Benedictine is. I'll be darned.
So they knew what they were talking.
The monks knew.
They knew, and that was a little while ago.
I would think so.
400
yes,
years.
I would think so.
Yeah, because they worked with what they had. And you know, when you're making tinctures and stuff, you can make them alcohol-based. You could use a brandy
sure.
to tincture an herb and mix it
sure.
in there. So there's so many ways to use the pharmacy that God gave us that's out there for anyone to use.
You know what else I find super interesting is a lot of the, like, witchcraft, if you will, the druids, you know,
mm-hmm.
had... probably was nothing more than nature's pharmacy. And they knew the plants that worked. They
mm-hmm.
knew all of that. And yet, because it wasn't being done by a doctor who was cutting on you and bloodletting, you know, they were considered witches.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this what I discovered through my research,
mm-hmm.
I haven't met a druid to confirm it with, unfortunately, but one of the herbs held sacred by the druids was meadowsweet. This plant is one of the original sources of salicylic acid or aspirin.
No kidding.
I've got meadowsweet at the shop, and if you open the jar and you think aspirin and you smell that twang, that sharp kind
mm-hmm.
of odor
mm-hmm.
from salicylic acid, and that's what meadowsweet provides.
I'll be darned.
Very good for pain.
Huh.
I guess those druids knew what they were talking about, too.
Well, I think a lot of times they knew that, you know, God gave us everything that we really needed,
mm-hmm.
but we had to open up our eyes in order to see it.
Yes.
And to listen, because, you know, birds, bees, I mean, they've all been showing us the way, honey.
Always.
One
of those magical things on the planet, honey.
Is honey, yeah,
mm-hmm.
because it will keep any bacteria from forming if you put
mm-hmm.
it on a wound.
Exactly.
And yet most people would think, honey on a wound?
Well, it needs to be raw honey. It can't
yeah.
be processed and
right.
heated honey, but raw honey. Absolutely, and bee pollen.
Bee pollen.
Bee pollen is a superfood.
Mm-hmm.
I call bee pollen nature's pun because bee pollen is very, very high in naturally occurring bee vitamins. I kid you not. Some people can't take an extra B complex. It could cause cystic acne, or for some reason they can't process it. So we take B pollen instead, and you're getting a very nice formula of all the B vitamins in a very nice naturally occurring ratio. But B pollen also has RNA and DNA and protein and, you know, aminos, minerals. It's a perfect food.
Hmm.
So.
Which maybe is one of the reasons that, you know, certainly not the only reason, but that we have more beekeepers this
mm-hmm.
day. And of course, you know, a lot of our bees are under attack.
Oh yes, it's
so.
Dreadful. So put plants in your garden that bees love, because
mm-hmm.
we need to protect them as much as we can and encourage them to flourish. So yeah, and throughout the years you were talking about the witchcraft thing, you know, people tend to condemn what they don't understand.
Sure.
And there's evidence of that throughout the history of mankind, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting in touch with the earth, mm-hmm. and, you know, learning about the plants that can heal us and their properties. And, you know, to me, it's an education, and knowledge is power. So it's about, to me, it's about self-sufficiency. You know, I watch those shows sometimes, not often, but like
the prepper shows?
No, ones where they're abandoned in the middle of nowhere, and they have to survive off the land.
Right.
And I get frustrated because it's like, you know, you see that plant right over there? You should pull that up and eat the root. That's food. But they're like, I'm looking for something to kill. You know,
right.
So.
And
so
our bodies don't know what to do with that type of food, you know. So
the cure is all around us.
It is.
All around us.
It is. All right, well, I want you to tell everybody, again, how can they find you?
Okay.
Maybe give a little bit of your background one more time.
Okay, well, my shop is at 470 2nd Street North. That's downtown Safety Harbor. I'm one block north of Main Street and just west of the library, a few blocks between 4th and 5th Avenues. It looks like a two-story yellow house, and I'm in the bottom space that fronts 2nd Street. There's lots of signs, and it's kind of hard to miss. So that's where I am. I've been there 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's been a blast. I plan to go for as long as I can. And my background, I was in broadcast journalist for many years. But that, I think, really gave me the inspiration to become a good researcher. Mm-hmm. And because I love to research, I've been able to learn so much about the plants and their purpose and their wonderful benefits. But I took training from the Clayton College of Natural Health, and then also from the American Botanical Council and the American Herbalists Guild. And I'm licensed through the Pastoral Medical Association, which just changed its name. I forgot what it is now, but it doesn't do me a lot of good because the state of Florida doesn't recognize holistic practitioners. So I'm a shop girl. I'm a shop girl that likes to share a lot of information. It's illegal for me to say, yes, I diagnose this and I prescribe that. Of course, I never do that. But it's not illegal for me to photocopy information from a book and mm-hmm. share it with someone so they mm-hmm. can learn more about the human body, how it works, maybe about the condition that they're trying to treat. I never say, just go buy an herb because somebody said so.
Right.
I would never
right.
advocate that.
Right.
We have to do our own research.
Exactly.
And especially, you know, when we have children or grandchildren, you know, the diet is just not that great and conducive to their growth and their development into healthy, happy adults.
Right.
And so we've got to start young. We've got right. to start young with looking at the natural ways that we could treat common colds and common ailments as well.
Right. Well, I think that your shop is charming.
Thank you.
And
pardon me for interrupting, I like to say we're little, but we're mighty.
Yeah, and that's exceptionally true. One of the things that I always remind people is if, you know, you have a friend, a family member that you think should listen to this show, you can find it on synergyconnectionradio.com. That has got, I guess, 11 pages now of shows. The 100th show is coming up in the not-too-distant future. And I think that you've been with me twice now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, I just, you know, encourage people because certainly there's a ton of information on the website, but Julie's information, you know, with everything that she has in her head is so wonderful to share with others. So just send them to synergyconnectionradio.com and her show will be at the top of the list. So they don't have to go searching through all 11 pages. It'll be on the 11th page. If they want her earlier show, they are going to have to go searching a little bit. But, you know, certainly send them there. And, you know, just go out there and make it a beautiful day. This is your life and you can choose, you know, the direction that it's going to go in. Don't let others influence you as much as taking stock of what is important to you and move in that direction. So go out there and make this your very best life.
Stay strong. Be well.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com. Or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomer's Forever Young products.